this morning, be able to make it back out this evening. So it's just always encouraging to come out to be here with you. Hope that everybody's doing well. As we continue upon our lives in this earth, we continue to remember that we need to be willing to go and teach, go and present the Word of God to others. And the same manner, if you have children, you have to be willing to teach your children. You have to be willing to guide them in the right direction. And many ways than just teaching things of the Word of God, but raising them. And in doing so, you get caught up in maybe a question of how we go about teaching. How do we go about and presenting the Word of God to others? And sometimes it comes down between two questions. Do we talk about the reward or the punishment? And which one do I use? Which do I go about and talk about? Because often we might get caught up in saying, well, if I talk about hell, it's just going to scare them, think that I'm just trying to put the fear in them, and they're not going to want to listen to me. But then if we talk about only heaven, then we might get caught up in the mindset, well, hey, everything's going to be great and all good, and that's, you know, and there's no worries about any kind of punishment. In both sakes, I see it in that scenario, again, talking about the children, and many times of, hey, go do this, go clean your room, and you might get to play a game, or you might get watched something. And, well, sometimes that gets them, the other's always willing to play the game. But one of them, I think, sometimes gets, if I don't have to clean the room, I'm just not going to do it. Well, here's the other option. You don't clean your room, you're going to get in trouble. You might get a spanking, or you're not going to get a watch or play anything for a while. And you talk about the reward and the punishment. And we ask, which one should we use? And I want to just open up the Bible, if you will, and look and see what the Word of God has to say through it, understanding it's two sides to the same coin. If we're going to talk about one, we're going to be talking about the other. Because it's the same thing as we see throughout the Word of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and read along with me there and in verse 12. Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Here it tells us there's two choices. Same thing as we go about teaching it, and same thing as we're instructing our children. There's two choices. You can choose to go down an easier path that you don't have to clean your room. You get to do whatever you want. Keep on playing. You don't have to worry about where to put everything. You don't have to worry about picking up certain things. Make sure you checked everything and clean it the way mommy wants it clean. You go down that path. Or you go down the difficult path and actually put some work into it and try hard. And in the end, there's the reward of life. And then, if you don't go down that path, then the reward is destruction. And so there's two choices there. Two paths that we have to talk about both of them. We have to let it be known that there is a wrong path to go down. Because if we just talk about there is a heaven, and they say, yeah, I want to go to heaven, and then they go into the world, and this is what so many teach today, is the fact that, hey, once you understand that there is a God, once you understand that Jesus is the Son of God, then go and find the church you want to go to. And that's what a lot of people do. But we have to understand there's two sides. That you can't just go and choose, you have to find the one that God has made. In Matthew chapter 13, and reading here, and in verse 41, Matthew 13 and verse 41 says, "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom, all the things that offend those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the righteous will shine forth in the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, in this scenario, we go here, we talk about the parable of tears, and this is it being explained. Well, there's two. We got to talk about them both. And you say here, point out, well, the angels in the end will come out, and he's going to separate
the righteous from the unrighteous, the lawful from the unlawful.
And he's going to take the unrighteous and he's going to cast them in an eternal lake of fire, where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then he's going to take the others and they're going to shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. They're both there. When we sit out there and ask the question, which one am I supposed to use? Eventually, and I want to say in one study that you're going to end up talking about them both, but eventually you're going to have to bring out both of them. We are going to have to talk about heaven and hell. The reward and the punishment. Here in chapter 13 and verse 47, again, here the parable of the dragnet. Here it says in verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessel and threw the bad away. So will it be in the end of age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, the kingdom of heaven. Go into all the world and preach Jesus. As we preach Jesus, we're going to preach His kingdom. As we preach His kingdom, we're going to talk about how you enter into the kingdom and what will keep you from being in the kingdom. Therefore, we're going to have to talk about both of them. The punishment and the reward. Talk about how much the reward outweighs all great things that you might be able to enjoy this world. And talk about how the punishment is going to be so much worse than anything you might miss out on that you may choose to give up in this world because you choose to follow Christ. The point is we have to bring them up both. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and starting there in verse 1, as we go about talking about the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And if you read along with me there in verse 10, and in verse 10 here it says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" If we're going to talk and go spread the Word of God, and we're going to try to teach others about our Lord and talk about who He is, and we're going to have to talk about them both. Look at the parables that Jesus told. They pointed out both scenarios. Those who were prepared and those who were not prepared. Those who were ready when the Lord came, when the Master came, they got to enter into the gate while the gate was open. But those who were unprepared, those who weren't watching and waiting, saying, "I don't know when He's coming, but I'm going to be ready always. I'm going to be ready today, then I'm going to make sure I'm ready when I wake up tomorrow, and if He gives me another day, I'm going to be ready that day." We're going to check ourselves every day and make sure we're ready every day. But if we don't check ourselves and make sure we're ready, then God might come when we don't check. We have to talk about both. Again, here in chapter 25, and going all the way down to verse 14. We go about the parable of the talents. Again, it's the same point. You got the workers and the one who wouldn't work. And the one who wouldn't work, again, he knew his master, right? He goes, "I knew you were a hard man. I knew that if you came back and I didn't have this, and you would punish me, so I hid it." So many today, they go, "I know God created the world. I know Jesus died on the cross. I know what He has done." But then they take that knowledge and they hide it away. Just as they take this talent and He hides it, and when the Lord comes, He says, "Lord, here you have what was yours." But that wasn't enough. He had to be willing to go and work. He could have at least invested it and made a profit. You turn along with me to Revelation. So often we can turn to Revelation and we go at the end of it here And we turn to chapter 21 and we read about all the good and wonderful things. And even in chapter 22, and it continues on that point. But understand, if you read it in full and you bring in some of 20, and you see that it talks about both. It talks about heaven and hell. It talks about the reward and the punishment. In chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven flooded away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, but the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to their works. And then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast out," cast into the lake of fire. We've got to talk about hell. You jump down to verse 8 again. Here it says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You have to talk about hell. Chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. It says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things which are written in the book." We have to warn people. This is the warning that needs to be sent out. But that doesn't mean we ignore telling them about the reward that is in the end also. Saying, "Guys, look what you can have." As you go to chapter 21 and you read about in verse 4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." We should go and tell people, "Guys, look. I know things are hard here on earth, and I know you might miss out on stuff, but God says there's a place He has made. And that there's a reward where you have no more pain, no more suffering, never grow old." And we take them down to verse 22, it says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." We will be there with God. There will be no more second guessing. There will be no more of, you know, if God would just speak to me. He will be there. Face to face. We should shout that with joy. We should go and say this to other people with a smile on our face, happy as can be, excited to share the good news. Chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "And he showed me the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb in the middle of the street. And either side of the river was tree of life, and it bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." The river of life, the tree of life, the throne of the Lord. There's exciting things to talk about. Which one should I use? We should use them both. What does the wisest man besides our Lord say? He says the conclusion is, fear God and keep His commandments. We need to fear the wrath of God. We need to fear the punishment. We do not want to go down that road. Therefore, we are going to be faithful. And let me tell you, that will help you remain faithful. That will help you strive to keep out of trouble. Or that will help you hurry up and confess your faults and repent of your sins when you do fall short. Best example I can remember is when I was young. I don't know, fourth, fifth grade maybe. My brother, I had two older brothers.
My brother, I had me a pump action BB gun. Air it up.
I'm outside, I have my target,
I'm shooting at my target. My brother's inside.
We got a double glass sliding window.
Every time I'm about to shoot, my brother.
My brother just liked to pester me. And I tell you what, he kept on going. I eventually just turned around and shot. Think about the window in between me and my brother. Let me tell you, that window just spiderwebbed everywhere. Now let me tell you, this wasn't my oldest brother. This is my, I guess, middle brother. He's in between me and my oldest. His reaction was, let's go get my oldest brother and see what he can do. I go, how's he going to hide this? I went to my dad crying in tears because I knew I was a dead man. I was afraid. I was afraid. Luckily, Dad was napping when I told him. And he woke up, kind of looked at it. He went back to napping. I don't ever recall getting in trouble for that. Because I went straight to him, is what I say. So I went straight to Dad. That was the right thing to do instead of trying to hide it or see what my brother could do about it. Man, I was afraid, though. When you're afraid, sometimes that can lead you in the right direction. That fear of the consequence. But also having the mindset of the reward. Right?
As we look and study through the Word of God, it says, compete as one who competes for the prize. Knowing that there's a reward. We want that reward. We want that home in heaven. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you again myself. And so we look for that home, that room, that mansion in heaven.
And so we sit here and we run. We discipline our body. We check ourselves. We make sure that we're ready. We are preparing ourselves for that day to worship God face to face. And we use them both in hopes that as our children grow up, in hopes as we teach others, that yes, you might hook them on the reward, and you might hook them on fear. But as we grow, we hope it comes down to the point of why we obey is because we love. Because we love God. Got a couple verses I'm going to bring up here in a second, but in just consideration as you go to Timothy. In Timothy, when it talks about the widow, and it talks about family stepping up and taking care of your family member so that the church does not take care of itself. Again, at that time and point, there's no longer anything that mom is giving to the children, really. You know, yes, that mom's still giving love and care, but the mom's not taking care of the children anymore. The mom's not the one that's preparing the meal. Mom's not making sure I'm getting out of bed to go to school, otherwise I'd slept in every day. Mom's not the one that's checking on the sores or making sure I get to the doctor appointment. Actually, the role has turned around. That it's no longer that the child is doing everything for the parents because they fear getting in trouble with mom and dad. Or because mom and dad is going to reward them with TV time, game time, having friends over. But now it's to that point is that I want to pay them back because they love me. Because they have taken care of me and I want to take care of them. I love my parents. It's not because I fear them or because I'm looking for a reward from them. It's because I love them. It's the same thing as we eventually grow. It's no longer that we continue just because we fear God. Or just because we know that God has a great reward for us. But we recognize how much God has done for us. And we appreciate everything He has done for us. And we love Him. In John 14 and verse 15. As it reads here, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't say, if you fear me, keep my commandments. He doesn't say, if you want this reward, keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you jump down to verse 21. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Again, here it says, those who keep my commandments and love me, those are the ones who love me. In verse 23, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Again, it's just, if you love me, keep my commandments. Literally, there's that growing stage. As we go to 1 John, it tells us that love casts out fear. Eventually, hopefully, we get to that point that we don't have a lot of fear. Because we have true faith that God has washed our sins away. That the blood of Christ has washed our sins away. He has forgiven us and forgotten. God is faithful. Now that fear pops up when we fall short from time to time. Helps us turn from our sin. But the key part is we continue in love. We continue to do these things because we love our God. We want to worship Him. We want to give back to Him. We want to help. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." We keep His commandments. This is the love of God. How do we know that the love of God dwells in us? How do we know that we truly love Him? Is that we keep His commandments. Yes, we look forward to that day of being with Him. We look forward to that life of no pain. We look forward to those things. We do not want anything to do with the lake of fire. But that is not the true purpose behind us. We want to do these things because we truly love God. We want to give back to Him. 2 John chapter 1 and in verse 6. 2 John and in verse 6 it says, "This is the love. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." This is love. Again, as we go back to talking about the children, you know, we train them and teach them to clean their rooms, to keep on picking up and putting up their clothes and hanging up the shirts. And we do these things, and yes, sometimes they get rewarded, sometimes they get punished. But eventually they're going to be on their own. And the reason we continue to push this in their minds, and sometimes we don't reward them when they do good, is because it's something they just need to do, because we don't want them to live as pigs when they move out. We don't want them to, and eventually they do it because they have respect for themselves and they want to look good and they want to be able to have people in their home. We teach them the rules of the house in hopes that when they get older, they understand to obey the laws of the land, the rules of wherever they go to school. Eventually they get to that point if they understand they have to do these things for themselves because they respect themselves, because they respect others. Not just out of a fear of consequence and because they want a big reward, but because this is the way that they should be living. Just as we continue to grow up and we teach others, we need to teach heaven, and we need to teach hell, and we need to teach love. We need to teach that keeping His commandments is about loving God. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this evening. If any is here and have not obeyed the gospel, if you understand that God is your creator, and you understand that sin is what separates you from God, that causes spiritual death, separates you, kind of to the point not that God can't hear your prayers, and not that the point that God doesn't know what you're up to, but you've broken that relationship. And you're ready to fix that relationship, whether it's because you have been baptized and you know right from wrong and you need to repent of those sins and need prayers of congregation, or if it's you know that you have sin in your life and you've yet to be baptized for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of those sins. And we want to encourage you to make that right today. If you're here and we can assist you, will you let us know as we stand and sing? Amen.